Welcome aboard to another episode of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Horowitz, and I am so pleased that you're with me today for episode 20 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. So much to talk about, so much happening in the news, so much happening in the investment environment, and we're going to go through a lot of that today, and we're going to really focus in on some of the more important areas that I think happened over the last week, because it's been a long week. Boy, has it been a long week. Let's just get it off right now to a start and talk about some of the things that are coming up. We're going to talk about, well, we got to talk about Crocs. I promised some people, because obviously I have been, I don't want to say a Crocs hater, because I don't hate the company. I think the shoes are pretty cool. I think that there's really some advantages to the company. Clearly, they came out with this really stellar, killer, amazing numbers in their recent earnings. Just blew the tops off of every estimate out there. And yes, I have some egg on my face, but that's the short term. Listen, first of all, let's focus on what we're here to talk about. The name of the podcast, the Disciplined Investor Podcast. We're talking about some disciplines. We're talking about not just some seat of the pants type of investing, not just day trading, not just really doing it for the short term. We're doing it for the long haul. We are here to make money over the long haul. Sure, along the way, we're going to make mistakes, because that's just part of the game. The question we have to ask ourselves is, how do we minimize them? That's the trick. We're going to talk about Zoomies, which I wrote about recently. We're going to talk about this whole idea of unrestrained optimism that we're seeing in the markets right now. We're going to follow up on Harry Dent's discussion of the Dow 20,000. I'm going to tell you about, oh, there's so many things. Just, you know what? Do yourself a favor. Get a pencil and paper again. Stick around for a minute, because right when we come back, we're going to get into this. We're going to get into this hot and heavy. We're going to get into this real fast and talk about all these important things on the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Stick around. Here we go.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
Hi, this is Grammar Girl from QuickAndDirtyTips.com, and you're listening to the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
All right, let's dive right in to a story about a stock called Zoomies. Zoomies is a retail stock. Z-U-M-Z is the symbol on it. And I've been looking at this store because what I like about it is that it is not pigeonholed as a retail store that only sells their own products. Now, take, for example, Abercrombie & Fitch, symbol A&F. What I like about Abercrombie & Fitch is clearly that they have a great product. They have a great following. You know, they start out as this mail order type of program where you would go and buy it online and have it shipped to you. And then they get the great stores. They branch down into new products like Hollister, but for whatever reason, Abercrombie Hollister falls out of favor. I realize that is something that is mind-blowing that probably can never happen, but what if they fall out of favor? So Zoomies, different than that, takes into consideration things like, well, what is hot today? What are we looking at today? From things like the gothic wear from Hot Topic to some of the more casual wear from Pacific Sunwear, PacSun, and it takes all of these, even the Abercrombie look, and combines it all into one. And when it combines it all into one, what it does is it has the hottest retail products for the 12 to 24-year-olds available today. Really focusing in on the skaters. I think that what I like about Zoomies is, again, it isn't just one product. On the blog, I wrote a bunch about it. I told you the ins and outs of the company, some of the things I want you to watch out for, some of the price targets, where you should probably get in if you're looking to pick up retail. And let me say this. Here is a giant caveat. Retail. Usually, I am not, if you haven't noticed yet, a big fan of retail, particularly retail that could be hurt if something is a fad, if something is really going to be out of favor, if consumers get a real itch and they decide not to like your product anymore, and because of general sentiment. Retail is the first thing that's going to go when it comes to cutting back. Consumer discretionary, be very careful. Now, right now, exactly at this moment, we are in a bonanza when it comes to consumer discretionary. We have never seen this kind of momentum when it comes to individuals going out and just buying. One of the big reasons for that is because the dollar is so incredibly undervalued. Now, that has no effect on us, me, you, because our dollar is our dollar. Quarters are a dollar. Four of them put together makes a dollar. 10 dimes makes a dollar. We're not really affected by the valuation of the dollar when we're inside, when we're here in the United States. But when you step outside. Let me tell you, I told you I was just in Northern Europe and the dollar was worthless. I mean, things were really expensive. $10 a cup of coffee in Russia, $5 for a hot dog at a little stand in Copenhagen. I mean, things were really expensive there, but it wasn't so much that they were expensive as it was for the fact that the dollar was so undervalued. What makes retail really sing right now is that all these people that have incredibly valued currencies, whether it's the euro, the pound, the yen, anything, are coming here to buy our products en masse. They are just picking up and almost just at will buying products. Because if you look at like the Nokia N95 that I told you was the top phone in its class right now, when you can buy it here for about $700, you buy it over there, anywhere over there, I want to say over there, anywhere Europe, for $1,200. It's not only because the Nokia N95 is more expensive there, it's because the dollar is so undervalued right now that it makes it difficult for us to do a comparison. So when it comes to retail, again, I'm a very skittish. I'm concerned. What I like about Zumia is they're right in the sweet spot right now. Look at the stock. Look at the blog entry about, I call it Zumia's. We published that on July 24th. I think there's some really good potential there, but at the same time, I would be very careful. So with that in mind, let's take a quick break. I want to tell you about the book. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about this idea of unrestrained optimism. Then we're going to talk about Crocs and where do we go from here with Crocs and a couple of things I think you'll find very, very interesting. So again, stick around for a minute. We'll be right back with the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. Did you know that bulls sometimes like the naked option? Bears sometimes buy butterflies. And diamonds are some trader's best friend. And there's nothing so satisfying as when we see our shorts come down. Unless, of course, everyone else has longs and are quickly covering their shorts. Did you ever see hammers with long bodies and short shadows after a shooting star appeared just prior to a dark cloud cover? There have been numerous sightings lately of long collars used upside down, head and shoulders. Sound like gibberish? Well, they're not. These are all real investment terms that you need to know. Learn the lingo and techniques of pro traders before you invest. And you too may even own spiders or even a new convertible. Coming to bookstores everywhere. The Disciplined Investor, the groundbreaking book that gives you professional investment tools page after page. Watch for it in bookstores everywhere. The Disciplined Investor. Get your copy and profit from it. Written by Andrew Horowitz.
All right, that told you a little bit about the book. I've been telling you about this because it's getting closer and closer. I think it's 20 days now till it hits the bookshelves. We already saw the listing in Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and we've already been asked to speak at many different, I've been asked to speak at many different functions. Many people have written me and asked me how do they get the book. Well, here's how you do it. First of all, before the book is actually on the bookshelves, called The Disciplined Investor, Essential Strategies for Success. About 252 pages, all about the core principles. You have quantitative analysis, you have technical analysis, you have fundamental analysis. You get into even a discussion about annuities and what to look for and what not to look for, asset allocation. And this all brings it together in a way that you can use it. It gives you tools of the trade, who to use for a broker, who to use for when you're looking for charting, what not to get yourself into. And it goes step by step. It's for the, I would probably say the novice to the intermediate investor. If you're a professional, not for you. There's other places that you can go look for other information. Maybe it'll give you a good refresher, but really if you're getting into investing or you've been there for a while and you need to really understand the next level of where you're going, this is the book for you. So what you can do is on the site, on the website, thedisciplinedinvestor.com, on the right-hand side, it's something called Bookstore. And what you can do is pre-order. Right now, we're taking pre-orders. There's no charge to your credit card. The cost of the book is $14.95 plus shipping. Anyone who pre-orders right now, again, you put in all the information, but you won't be charged right now, will get not only the book right when it comes out, right when it's delivered from the printer and the publisher, will be right on your doorstep, but you'll also have it signed by me, and you'll have some information from me and some nice goodies and extras. So if you want to do that, just go to the Disciplined Investor and pre-order, number one. Number two, what I want you to do, you want to win a book? I have an idea. For the first 10 people who leave an iTunes referral, a reference, or a review on the iTunes network, the first 10 people from right now going there are going to get a free copy of my book. So go over to iTunes, leave a review, and then email me at info@thedisciplinedinvestor.com and tell me what you wrote, and I'll look it up and we'll confirm it and we'll make sure they match, and you will be on the list for the first 10 people that leave reviews right now on the iTunes network. And for the rest of you, thank you so much for your support. The book will be out soon. You'll be able to find it in your local bookstore. And if you have a club, if you have a group, or if you have someone who you'd like for me to speak in front of and talking about the book, do me a favor again. Please write to info@thedisciplinedinvestor.com. The next thing I want to talk about is share buybacks. I wrote an article on the blog, a post, if you will, called Share Buybacks, Party Now, Hangover Later. I looked very deeply at a recent report and a recent study that was written by Standard & Poor's. And the author of this looked at the historical amount of share buybacks that were out there and came to some very, very scary conclusions. I went one step further. I wanted to find out really how this is going to affect us. And I got to tell you, it really threw me for a loop. Because if you think about something, the more share buybacks we have by corporations, the less shares we have outstanding. Okay, so far so good, right? Well, the less shares outstanding, the greater amount of supply-demand pull that we have. So in other words, we have less shares and more increasing the overall demand for shares. That's number two. Number three, when we have share buybacks and we have them pulling shares off the shelf, if you will, earnings per share naturally goes up, albeit artificially. And my concern is, as companies are moving their cash positions down from their cash down to treasury stock buying back positions, not affecting their balance sheet at all, and then looking at the income sheet and seeing that earnings per share is increasing, again, artificially, you have to wonder, what happens when share buybacks end? What's going to happen? I mean, come on, think about this. What we're doing is we're creating or manifesting this idea that we have an increase, the continual increase of earnings per share and growth of our earnings per share, because that's what we're all focused on. I mean, right now, if you don't meet your growth numbers, if you don't meet the earnings numbers in an earnings statement, you're in big trouble. I mean, just look at the companies that beat and look at the companies that didn't beat and look at the disparity in their share prices the day after, the week after they actually came out and discussed what their earnings were and their projections. Those companies that took advantage of share buybacks are doing an incredible thing, but artificially. In the actual quarter that they are buying back shares, they get an immediate bump to their earnings, thus giving us the viewpoint that, wow, they beat earnings again. You need to read this article. You need to read the Standard & Poor's article. I am not saying, hey, Henny Penny, the sky is falling. Watch out, chicken wheel. Oh, my. No. But you know what? We need to wake up, because it's going to bring us to our next point, unrestrained optimism. What do I mean by that? Unrestrained optimism. What I mean by that is, when you have bad news, when you have good news, when you have just news, the stock market goes up. All right, sure. Took a breather. Whew. Wow, finally got our correction. 500 points down in 2 days. Wow, that's great. We got that. I mean, come on. You think, I don't mean you, I mean the big you, you think that 2 days coming off of the valuation of the stock market is a correction? Do you really think that's all that's going to happen with this incredible bull run? Now, sure, I told you we're going to tie in the fact that Harry Dent, great guy. I mean, just an amazing mind, and I respect him fully. But do you really think that right now we're in a straight line up to 20,000? And you may ask yourself, I don't care if we're in a straight line up, because if we get at 20,000, who cares? I mean, who cares? 20,000 is 20,000. Zigzag, up and down, straight line. If it's 20,000 that we're looking for, I'm in. But you know what? I think there's something that bears mentioning. By having this unrestrained optimism where everything looks good no matter what, almost everything looks good no matter what, we are pushing the stock market. We are increasing the demand with less shares outstanding, a la my discussion of share buybacks. And what we're doing is setting ourselves up for disaster. I will only hearken you back to a few years ago when everything was different, wasn't it? I mean, the real estate market was going up. And you're saying to yourself, Andrew, we know about this. I mean, we know about this. This fine. The real estate market isn't doing well. What are you going to tell me that's new? What I'm going to tell you what's new is this, that at the time, it didn't look like it was ever going to end. Everybody was talking about how be in real estate now because that is going to be the place for your future. Look at Donald Trump, for goodness sakes. Only the people that have invested in real estate are the ones that have really amassed the wealth in this country. That's what we heard time and time again. Now what we're finding is there is a huge hangover for our disregard for the reality check, the cold water on the face, the slap on the head every once in a while. And here it comes. I'm going to give you that slap in the head. I hope that sounded like a slap. I smacked the microphone. But here it is. The fact of the matter is that, you know, you hear all these things that the trees don't grow to the sky and there's always a stopping point before the next level. Well, here I am to tell you this. Don't get caught up in your own stuff. I'll be kind. Don't get caught up in what you hear out there, the people that are just pushing things and pushing things constantly. Sure, there's good reason why stocks should be moving up. Sure, there's a liquidity issue, but again, that's self-made by the buybacks and the fact that the dollar is low. What happens when the dollar starts creeping up? Do you think the dollar is going to stay at these levels forever? I don't think so. Do you think that and realize that everything is cyclical? I hope so, because if you don't, you're going to end up back 10 years again on the value of your account. Now, let me say this. Let's stop for a second. I am not saying that I am a bear and I am pessimistic and, oh no, things are only going to be this horrible, horrible event that's going to happen. No. Please understand something. What I am saying to you is bear in mind that, maybe not bear in mind, think about, we'll say that, think about that there are alternatives, that you need to be diversified. You need to have an asset allocation that is properly set up in all times. You know, we talk about the fact when you look at your asset allocation and one particular section or sector of your asset allocation gets really much larger, your allocation percentage moves up that much more. Take a little bit off the top and reallocate. Reallocate to some of the things that don't make sense. For example, this is going to be a little radical, so hold on to your seats. How about starting to put some money into the home builders? Now, if you've ever heard me before talk about home builders, I say the same thing over and over again. Home builders are like puppy dogs. Puppy dogs will eat until they throw up. You have to pull them away from their food. They'll get sick. Home builders will build until they bankrupt themselves. You have to pull them away and say, you know what? There's nobody buying right now. Maybe we should lay off for a little while. Maybe we shouldn't be building that giant condominium complex right now in an area that nobody's moving to. You think it's smart? We look at KB Homes, Pulte, Toll Brothers, and you see the incredible destruction of share value over the last 6 months. 50% is not an exaggeration. But at the same time, if we believe that everything is cyclical, and we can really focus on that point, that everything is cyclical when it comes to the markets and the financial markets, then you'll be a lot better. Think about it for a second. Every time that things were so bad, that you said, you know, it can't get any worse. It's just, I mean, this is looking horrible. I mean, isn't that usually the best time to invest? On the other hand, when we look at the markets and we see breaking highs every single day over and over, and there's just this incredible enthusiasm, historically, isn't that usually the best time to take a little bit off the table? Take some off the table. Be smart. Don't get caught up in the downdraft if it does happen. And even if it doesn't, be smart. If you take some off the table, you can't get hurt. All right, enough of that tirade. We're going to take another quick time out, just a quick one, and we come back. I'm going to talk about Crocs and one more topic that I think is going to be very important for you to hear. Again, thanks a lot for sticking around. We're going to be right back on the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager.
All right, welcome back again to episode 20 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. And we covered a lot of the areas that I talked about in my blog. We talked about unrestrained optimism. I mean, what can go wrong? That's a nice article that I'm really sure that you'll really like on the Disciplined Investor. And by the way, if you haven't done so already, if you want to get automatic updates, you can go right to the site and put your email address in there. And if you do so, every single time that we publish an article, it will go right to your email box. You'll have it immediately. You don't have to check back. Or, in fact, you can subscribe very easily right on the site. So that's pretty easy for you to do as well. The other thing that I think is pretty cool, and we're going to listen to in just a second, because I pulled one for you to listen to, is that I have a new message system right on the site. What you do is dial into it, if you will, or just click a button and say you want to leave a voicemail for me, and you have to have a computer that has a microphone. But if you do, you can dial right in, or you can click on it, if you will, and right then and there, right on the site, you can leave a message or a voicemail. So if you have a question you want answered, which I do welcome, if you would go there and try it, I'd appreciate it. If you have a question that you want to ask me, we're going to answer them as best we can, and we'll play it right on the podcast for you. So with that, I do have one I want you to listen to, so stick around right here, because what you're going to hear here is someone talking to me about Crocs and a lot of different questions he has regarding some of the hot topics that are going on right now on this podcast. So take a listen.
Good morning, Andrew. I compliment your great podcast and your web blog. My condolences on the Crocs quarter. No one must have been overwhelming for shorts. And very rewarding for longs, and it proves that Crocs' international growth is just really strong on their product. Aside from that, I have strong interest in the emerging markets, mostly Brazil.
There's a lot of things that were covered in that question, but let's get to the heart of it and really talk about what we want to talk about, what everybody wants to hear, and this is the whole idea of Crocs. Crocs came out with their earnings report last Thursday, about 4 days ago from the time we have published this podcast, and it was just an amazing number. I mean, they just blew the doors off of any analyst's expectations and really even the top numbers out there. Yeah, sure, we know that Crocs usually comes in with a surprise, and you have to look at that and keep that in mind when you're looking at Crocs numbers, but they really did a spectacular job this time in bringing in some nice numbers and beating them. In addition to that, really looking at a significant upside for the next quarter. So when we look at the Crocs stocks, symbol CROX, I have been talking about shorting it because I believe that Crocs long term is a fad, and that's something that's going to really just slow down over time. So let me give you some clarification on where we go here now and utilize some of the disciplines and some of the real important factors of when investing, what to do when something goes against you, because it's going to happen, even with the best research that you can have. First of all, let's say this, that, okay, fine. I agree that totally I have been wrong. Although let me back that up. When I first started initiated a short on Crocs, it was about $47 a share, and that was post split. It was actually about $94 or so per share at the time. But let's use the post split number. So it was about $47 per share. And what we did for our clients was we actually went in and did some shorts on it, and we actually went in and wrote some puts, or actually bought some puts on the stock. And let's be clear, I did buy some puts and short the stock. The stock went down very quickly to about 41 and change. And we had approximately about a if I recall correctly, about a $5 per share profit on that. The puts went up dramatically in value and the shorts did well. Well, we covered that up and cleaned out those positions and waited, and the stock went back up to about 47 again. And what we did was, once again, the same strategy. This time, the only difference was that there was something right in between then and now, and that was an earnings report. And the earnings report came out, again, very positive. Now, Crocs does have a record number of short sellers that are out there. And you look at those numbers, I mean, they're really a high number and a high percent of the float. So you have to be very careful, because when that is the case, you can have a short cover that goes on. Even with the markets doing horribly last Thursday and Friday, Crocs managed to do very well because the earnings number was so strong. So what do? Well, we're about 20% or so off from the time when if you took the advice and shorted the position, somewhere along there, you know, it could be anywhere from about 15 to 20%, 22% off, depending on where the stock is right now. And what do we do at this point? I am still of the frame of mind that Crocs growth is going to moderate. It cannot continue, in my opinion, to move at the levels it has. And the basic reason for that is that when you see any, and we'll, a la Harry Dent, any S-curve from, you know, the formation of a product to the overall high side of adoption of that product, you know, what you find is that the movement on the up towards the time when there is the adoption and it reaches a crescendo is very, very short compared to the time when the product is first introduced. And I think from what I can see, and when you could chart this, and when you look at Crocs compared to other fads, which again is the debate here, the core debate is whether or not Crocs is a fad, because if it's not, and Crocs is a core shoe that is going to be worn by everyone and is going to surpass the Nikes and everything else out there. It doesn't matter the name brand that it is out there, but it's going to become a household item for everyone or for a good majority of people. Well, then we have it all wrong. But if in fact there is a fad in there somewhere, the fact is that Crocs will continue to move and probably start really dropping down, probably into the next earnings season or so after that, because as it gets cooler out, there'll probably be less sales. Now, with that in mind, you probably, if you're a Crocs lover, shaking your head saying, wait a minute, he's getting into the territory where he's talking about Crocs being a fad again. And when you look at the stock and you look at what the company's doing, realize that number one, and again, this is coming from a lot of the emails that I received. Number one, Crocs, the material they use is just state of the art. It is odor-free. It is comfortable. It is durable. It is flexible. It is so amazing. I got an email from someone telling me how amazing it was that they're actually going to be making toilet seats out of it. Pause. Yes, toilet seats. Okay, great. That's amazing. Wonderful. Toilet seats. I'm looking forward to having a cushy toilet seat surrounding my, you know, tush as I sit. That's a great thing. At the same time, I've received emails from people saying that they affirm also that this is a fad, that what they're finding is a big drop-off, realizing that Crocs is being copied left and right. Now, on that side also, I've gotten emails. Let me give you all sides here. I'm trying to really be even-handed with all this. On the other hand, you know, isn't imitation the greatest form of flattery? I mean, you know, you look at this and you find that when you walk into a store, and I was recently in Binghamton, New York, and I walked into the mall and I looked around and I saw this giant kiosk. Matter of fact, I took a picture of myself with it. I'm going to put it on this post. A giant kiosk of Crocs. And I said, wow, look at that. They're really, I mean, they're everywhere. And I got closer and I realized, again, it was the fakes. Crocs being ripped off. So I say to myself, if I have seen a tremendous amount of copies of this, fine, they're popular. I understand that. But if it continues, how does that eat into the profits? Number one. Number two, even if we look at the Crocs for You fashion that they're coming out with, these boots, the insulated boots and a closed toe and no holes in the overall shoe, what's that going to do for the company? Well, I say probably nothing, in my opinion. They're overpriced. And if you look at their competition, like Uggs, they have a lot to really be concerned about, because you don't want to go after Uggs. If you just look at their earnings report, which is Deckers Shoes, and you see just an amazing blowout there as well. It's almost like people finally have realized that they need to wear shoes or something. I mean, it's like we've all been walking around barefoot or something, like in Fred Flintstoneville, and all of a sudden everybody's saying, hey, I want to wear Crocs, I want to wear Uggs, I want to wear shoes, and shoe prices have just been going up like crazy. Of course, I don't want to wear shoes with wheels in them, like Heelys, because that stock has just been going through the floor, just straight down. But at the same time, I want to say that when we invest in shorts, you have to have a strategy, just like you do when it comes to longs. You want to find a place that you just can't be comfortable anymore and put a sell stop or a cover stop, if you will, in on the position. Somewhere in the 60 range is probably from about the $47 or $48 range on the upside. It's probably a little bit too much for people to handle. I would consider, not at this point right now, let the earnings kind of, you know, fade in and fade out a little bit. Let's see other things get more important. Let's see, once again, maybe Google come back and be revived, or Apple continue their incredible movement. But I would consider looking at potentially shorting it again. Now, you may say, Andrew, what, are you out of your mind? I mean, what is wrong with this guy? Forget it. I'm turning this thing off right now. Please, just think about it again. The fact is that Crocs, in my opinion, is going to continue probably doing pretty well for a while, but there's going to be a time, just like what happened with Dell, just like what happened with Microsoft, that is going to level off. And when that happens and the growth is no longer there and it becomes more of a stable stock with a good growth story, because you know what? Even if you love Crocs more than your mother, listen, don't you agree there's going to be a time that Crocs is going to moderate in terms of earnings and sales? Now, if you say to me, no, I want you to think again what you just said. Maybe you were the same people that believed that real estate was just going to go up to the moon and kept on pushing the price. And you say, no, Andrew, Crocs is different. Do yourself a favor. Think about it. You know, step back for a second and wonder, what is it that I'm missing here? Now, I even saw tonight a great a news report that showed that Crocs were good for your back and good for your legs. I've seen, on the other hand, recently reports that showed that Crocs was still having problems in the school system. They were, furthermore, there were schools that were, you know, making kids wear different shoes because they were getting hurt on them. I mean, every story on either side, I hear both sides. And for whatever reason, maybe because it's just there's those stocks every once in a while that does this to people, there's fanatics on either side. And that's great, because in the end, one side is going to win out. And I believe that just as a conservative investor would look at every angle, an aggressive investor would look at the angles that really are for the short term, the conservative long term. Take this into consideration from both sides. Think about what it means to you. And do me a favor. I want to hear your comments. I do not want to hear the fanatical craziness. If you have a reason why Crocs should go up or down, go to the site, either write me a comment, or better yet, use the new voice message system that we put on. I want to hear it. Let me hear what's going on. Let me hear what's on your mind. If you start getting fanatical and crazy, I'm not going to put it on the next podcast, I promise you. But if you have an intelligent, good, and an articulate discussion, which this may or may not be that I'm having with you right now, do me a favor. Let me hear it. So we're going to end on that. I want to tell you that we also have a poll, the Dow Jones Average, end of 2007. That's on the site right now. And I want you to stay tuned, because we are going to have on our next podcast the death of the insurance industry. Wait till you hear what's going on now with life insurance. You know, those 50% commissions, 60% commissions really brings out the worst in people. And I'm going to tell you the morbid story of the death of the life insurance industry. It's going to be something you're going to want to hear, I promise. So again, thanks for being here and thanks for participating today. I hope I answered many of your questions. I would like you to please do me a favor. Again, I tell you that the first 10 people that give a review on iTunes are going to get a copy of the book, The Disciplined Investor. If you want to get your hands on a book, go to the site, pre-order. You only have 20 days left or so to pre-order in order to get not only the book, but a couple of goodies from me as well. So just go there. And again, nothing's going to be charged to your credit card right now. We're just going to get your order in. And from there, I want to thank you for being with me. This is Andrew Horowitz on the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Have a great week. Make some money. I wish you well. Bye-bye.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations, and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.